Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. It's the Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Greg McKinney, Richmond Weaver, and Lonzo. It was 1995, the last year that the ACC baseball tournament was in Greenville. It was here from 1987 to 1995. And they're not in Durham every year. They move it around. But they haven't been back here. And I know we have the Southern Conference tournament here. Maybe they have a long-term deal going on there. And that keeps it from... You would think we'd be in the rotation for the ACC tournament, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's amazing that it's not then.
But maybe I don't know what that conflict.
I don't know what other cities are in the rotation.
I can tell you
ACC.
That. Last year was in Louisville, at Louisville Slugger Field. It has been in Jacksonville. It was there for... They do this in like clusters. It was in Jacksonville from 2005 to 2008. It was in Salem, Virginia, I assume? Or is that Winston-Salem? Winston-Salem, maybe? Salem Memorial Baseball Stadium, 2003-2004. It was at Doak Field. Now, that's going way back, 1974 and 1980. It's been in Durham a lot. 2015, 16, this year. It was even some years ago in Clemson. Do you realize that? A lot of years ago. 1976 to 1978, the host location was Clemson. It's been in Greensboro, been in Jacksonville, Salem, Virginia, St. Petersburg, Fort Mill for a couple of years, Atlanta 1 year, Chapel Hill way back in the 70s and 80s. So mostly lately it's been Durham, Greensboro, Louisville. That's where they've been doing it. I don't think I still have it. I didn't save it. I had a golf shirt that said Safe at Home. And what that was all about was keeping the ACC baseball tournament in Greenville back in the 90s. I think I finally threw that thing away.
Well, you're the reason then. You threw it away,
and
you're no longer
away.
Here.
Well, no, that came out in 95 when, you know, this... It was a pretty big deal when they were talking about moving it because it had been here since... it had been here for like 8 years. And, you know, there was a push to keep it here. And the Safe at Home, I remember there was fairly confident attitude, we're not moving this thing out of here. Well, guess what?
They did.
The way it went, and it hasn't been back since in 20-plus years.
I wonder what the correlation of when the movie Bull Durham came out and the Durham Bulls became such a hot item in that stadium as well.
I got it. And I can see Durham being in the rotation, but, you know, and it's not there every year. I think right now the deal is that they're not coming back here because the stadium's tied up here, I guess. I guess that's the deal. No other good reason not to put Greenville back in the rotation there. Anyway, 844-477-3776 here in the Huddle. Last night, the Houston Rockets did the impossible, the unbelievable, the unthinkable, and won at Golden State. How long had it been? They hadn't won there. Have they ever won there?
Yeah, they actually won there at the beginning of the season. But you're talking about playoffs.
It's been
a long time. Yeah. This is the first time that Golden State, they've won 16 straight in the playoffs at home. And Kevin Durant had never lost at home in the playoffs playing for Golden State.
You know, there's one thing that we've neglected to do through the years on this fine program, and that is point out when Lonzo is right, because I called it.
Yeah. No, we don't neglect to do that. We have no problem with that because you're always here to make
sure that happens. I intentionally made sure not to mention that. But since you brought it up, congratulations. Mm-hmm.
12 points scored by the Warriors in the fourth quarter.
Ugly. They scored 34 in the third quarter.
I mean, the lid was on the basket. I don't think they hit a three in the fourth quarter.
See, this is what happens when some certain player starts doing his little shimmy and going up and down and getting all cocky. You lose. That's what happens.
I mean,
punk.
The Warriors had control of this game going into the fourth quarter.
They were up by 10.
Yeah.
The start of the fourth quarter.
They got tired. They looked tired.
They looked tired. And as I mentioned yesterday, who I thought would be a big part of Golden State is Andre Iguodala.
Yeah, they miss him.
They missed him.
You also need to factor in Klay Thompson hurting his leg because he wasn't the same player after that. He still made some shots, but he definitely was ginger after he went down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Thompson ended up with 10 points, 4 of 13 shooting, and it was not the same. They got 28 out of Curry. They got 27 out of Durant, but they got nothing in the fourth quarter. Yeah. And
Durant was cold shooting. I think it was like 9 of 24.
Yeah.
And he had 8 points from the free throw line.
Right.
So when you look at it from that perspective, you know, he had an off game, and then I don't think it helped when James Harden dunked on him like that.
Definitely. It was a great dunk. And Chris Paul, you know, was so intimidating against Draymond Green, and it made Golden State back off. They got scared.
Well, Michael Wilbon, I'm confusing my guys.
Tim's brother. Michael
Wilbon, ESPN, talks about this super team the Warriors have, but sometimes, like in the fourth quarter last night, they lack focus.
I mean, you know, they remind me of the genius student that just sort of goofs around, you know, when things are going well. Yeah, you know, I've done well this semester. Let me just skip a couple of days of class. That's what the Warriors are. Steve Kerr, after a 12-0 lead, he must feel the same way. He called timeout when it was 12-2. I mean, Steph Curry comes over, throws the ball to Draymond Green. Draymond wasn't looking, and Steph just throws it to him casually. And Harden goes down. I think it was Harden. Gets a layup, 12-2. And Steve Kerr called timeout. And he said afterward that he was disappointed because he knew the lead should have been stretched, and it wasn't. Same thing later in the second half, 12-point lead. And they just, I always say, it seems like they hear the sweet Georgia Brown music in their ears, and they just lose focus. They just, you know, they're just not there for a while. And this team will make them pay.
Fair? This team loses focus? They sure looked unfocused late in that game last night.
They're cocky. That's the thing. They're like, oh, man, we got this, that sort of thing. I absolutely agree. They think they can play around with every team and still win in the end, and it didn't happen last night.
Yeah. And with like 12 seconds left, who did the Warriors go to at the end of that game? Klay Thompson. Yeah. No, don't do that.
Kevin Durant.
He had the ball.
He had the ball. He gave it up.
Yeah.
Didn't Curry miss a shot at the end, too?
Yeah, that was after the fact that
they had a chance to tie it, though, I thought.
They did, but Kevin Durant had a chance to he would have been able to tie it with just a two. And then they fouled Chris Paul. He went to the free throw line, hit one of two. And then Steph Curry's shot was after the buzzer anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered even if he would have made it.
Right.
But Kevin Durant's got to take that shot.
He does.
How many years did we come down on LeBron James if he did not take the last shot? When he passed off, I mean, we ridiculed him, criticized him. I haven't heard too much criticism of Kevin Durant right now.
Well, missing Iguodala, and when they got tired, they had no bench help. He's got to come back. He has a left leg contusion. We don't know for sure if he'll be back for the next game or not, but man, they need him.
They do. Now, he was doubtful. He was upgraded to questionable, and then they ruled him out.
Right.
So there could be a situation that he actually does come back. I just don't know if he's going to be 100%.
Right. But just getting him back out there to help spell some of these guys with some minutes and help their defensive rotations, which were bad without him. We'll see. But, give it up to Houston for making it
interesting. That's right. You got to give credit to Houston because Chris Paul also came out very slow, didn't score until like a minute or two into the first quarter. But he had 8 points in that fourth quarter, and that was really the backbreaker for them, just his play right there, especially the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter.
But isn't this what we want to happen? Don't we want these series to go 6-7 games?
Yeah. I'm good with it. This one just, what we do is we overreact to the last game.
Well, of course.
The last game is what's going to happen from now till the end of time.
Exactly. And if you look at it at this point, 4 games in, this is what you would expect. 2-2. It just didn't happen the way we thought that, or typically, that the home team wins each game.
Right.
That's all it is. So now it's a best 2 out of 3, and you would think the advantage would be to the home team, but still, Golden State is favored.
Yeah, I don't think people trust Houston. In crunch time, like in a Game 7 situation, which this may very well get to. Also 2-2 in Cleveland and Boston, and their Game 5 is coming up tonight. at 8:30. It is in Boston. What do you think? Who wins tonight? Who wins
Lonzo,
tonight?
You're the one who knows how to predict these NBA games.
I don't think anyone knew how to predict any of these. I mean, there's at least last night was competitive. That was one of the first games on either series that was very competitive at the end. I'm going with Cleveland, but I'm not extremely confident about it. I know Cleveland, as we talked about yesterday, this is a must-win game for Cleveland. They have to get this one. They have to win one in Boston. It needs to be this one so they can close this out. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. This is where Cleveland needs to turn the tide on the home court.
Can the bench guys come out and play better? Will LeBron come out and be LeBron that's, you know, aggressive and doing everything he needs to do to will this team to win this game?
But this will set up LeBron's legacy, because I think we're getting into a point now where it's not even so much about the conference games. We're still so caught up in this situation of comparing LeBron to Michael Jordan. Wouldn't this just be a situation where they lose tonight, then LeBron, his back is against the wall, so he has to win the next game, game six in Cleveland, and then really supplant his legacy by winning game seven in Boston? Wouldn't that just add fuel to the fire that LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan?
Not for some people.
Yeah, well, but it would.
But I don't care. I just want him to win. I mean, I don't care if it, you know, to me,
yeah, I know
Jordan
you don't
is
care.
Still the number one. I don't get the argument. Why do we have to do this? Do we have to make comparisons?
That's just how we are in society. That's how we are in life. It's all
a
competition.
You're right.
You compare.
It'd be great for LeBron's legacy to win a game seven in Boston. Yeah.
And so I suspect that that's what will happen. Even though I picked Cleveland to win in six, I could definitely see this going to seven just from that standpoint, is that this would be the magical run that LeBron is continuing to do, pulling through the Cavs team back against the wall in game seven. Boston hasn't lost in the playoffs at home this year, and he would be the first one to do it.
Let me ask you guys something. I mean, seeing the vulnerabilities that we've seen on the Western side, is it still a done deal that whoever wins the West is going to win the whole thing easy?
I don't think so.
Because a lot of people are still saying that.
I don't think so. I mean, I think we've seen some cracks in the armor of Golden State. And certainly you don't think that Houston's going to dominate Cleveland, do you?
They've got much more offensive firepower. So dominate, that's relative to how you define dominate. If you're saying
you would pick Houston over Cleveland?
I would pick Houston over Cleveland, yes.
I don't think I would. Let's wait till we get there.
I would say I would not. Now, Golden State over Cleveland, that's a different story.
Yeah. One thing that Boston's got to do tonight, differently than the last couple of games, is to get off to a better start. They have been bad early in the last two games.
Yeah, and typically they don't do that at home. Typically they play much better at home. They're a Jekyll and Hyde type of team in terms of on the road. But during the regular season, they were almost identical road record versus home record. So they're a good team actually on the road during the regular season. It's just completely different in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd just say this. Don't make the mistake of assuming what you've seen is what you're going to see, because
no.
It's not.
It's not.
It's not.
It's completely different.
Yeah. We can see something completely different tonight, too. So, anyway, 8:30 tonight is the tip for Game 5 with Cleveland and Boston, and we will have that for you here on ESPN Upstate after Clemson baseball coming up at 2:45 with Notre Dame. 844-477-3776. Text line 71307. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Wednesday Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Clemson baseball has tweeted that their game with Notre Dame will not start at 3 o'clock. I don't know what that means for us. We'll just talk until they tell us to stop talking.
That's easy to do, right? We can do that.
We got this. The Louisville-Wake Forest game just won't end. It's a blowout, 10-2 Louisville, but they're in the top of the ninth inning, and Louisville can't get Wake Forest out.
That's why the game should be seven innings. It's already been over.
Mercy rule. So I don't know if we'll go on at 2:45 with Clemson baseball or not. Waiting for an update from the network, but we will be here until Clemson baseball begins, or 4 o'clock, whichever comes first. We're not staying past 4. That's the deal. 844-477-3776. Let's go to the phones and talk to Joe next. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the huddle.
Hey, you guys. I'm just so excited. Like, I'm listening to local radio. You guys are talking about the NBA, which is great because I think the league is just full of not only superstars, not only one-of-a-kind, you know, unicorns, as we have, but good dudes like family men who are unbelievably talented and some of the best basketball players we've ever seen. And these playoffs have been absolutely incredible. And I think that basketball is just in this really cool spot where you can tell its popularity is going up like crazy and there's no controversy. I grew up in the Northeast where it was all about pro sports, pro football especially. Yep. And that's just not the case anymore. The NBA is full of guys that you can root for who are super talented and not getting in trouble, which is fantastic.
I think that's a great point, Joe. I mean, you think about it, there has been little to no controversy out of the NBA.
Yeah, like the only controversy was two players going to teams that were really good, and everyone said that wasn't fair. That's the biggest controversy that has come out of basketball. And it's just everyone's talking about basketball now. I think it's just going to keep getting more popular, and these playoffs have been absolutely sensational. I'm a big-time Celtics fan, and I hope they win. I really do, but I also don't mind seeing maybe possibly the best basketball player we've ever seen playing right in front of us right now.
Yeah. Thank you. Great call, Joe. Appreciate it. Yeah, I wish I could watch tonight, but it's Washington-Tampa Bay Game 7.
You're going to be locked into the hockey.
There's no way. So we expect a very lengthy report tomorrow on the hockey. Not just the highlights that you read off of ESPN or the NHL site.
Hockey. I'm going to analyze it. I'm going to break it down.
Yeah, I want to hear about substitutions, the patterns, which made the most sense.
Penalty times,
make it up,
things like that.
The difference.
But Joe's point is accurate in terms of there's a lot of guys that you can root for right now. And I still do contend that there's this something, it's going on that we've got this discussion really building. You've got these two sides of the camp, Michael Jordan versus LeBron James, who's the greatest? And the story is still being built with LeBron James. And I think that's what's attracting a lot of people to basketball right now, because it's the one generation versus the other generation, and which player is going to be, quote unquote, labeled the GOAT.
I guess. I mean, that's one thing. I agree. That's a factor. But it's more than that. It's more than that. I mean, NBA is an entertaining product.
It is. Well, and especially like Steph Curry, that he looks like a guy just walking down the street.
Looks
so
like
people
a big
can relate
baby,
to
a
him.
Punk.
There we go.
Looks like
I knew that would get Lonzo going.
Yeah, you got
it's like
it.
Someone you couldn't be friends with. He looks like an elitist.
You would like Steph Curry, I bet, Lonzo.
I don't think so.
He's a good guy at Davidson.
You know, I'm guessing Steph Curry wouldn't like me. So
yeah, that's
that's probably more accurate.
That's fair. Tell you what, I have in my grubby little hands, or on my grubby little computer screen, a depth chart for the Clemson football team, just released minutes ago. Oh, boy, what have they done at Clemson? But I'm going to take a break first. So we'll take our break and come back and dive into that, and then we'll see if we have Clemson baseball with Notre Dame coming up 2:45 this afternoon or sometime beyond that. So stay with us in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back. The huddle, it's over. The Louisville-Wake Forest game in Durham, North Carolina. Louisville wins 10-2. That, by the way, means that Wake Forest will not advance to the semifinals. They will play their next pool game, but they will not advance past that. So one more game for the season for Wake Forest. Louisville looking good today, and they win at 10-2. Up next, it's Clemson-Notre Dame somewhere around 3 o'clock this afternoon. As of now, we're still scheduled to go to the network at 2:45 for the pregame show. All right, 844-477-3776. Clemson football just releasing a preseason depth chart. This is post-spring, but before fall camp. What are your questions? Oh, so many questions. You don't care about quarterback, right?
Who is the starting guard, the starting left guard? Very important.
That's John Simpson.
Who's the starting field goal kicker?
Alex Spence, let's see, or Greg Hugel, so they're even. Alex Spence or Greg Hugel. Well, that's interesting.
I think it depends on Greg Hugel if he's going to be able to come back from his injury.
At quarterback now, based on what we've heard, what we saw in the spring game, what do you think?
They have that already?
What? A starter. They have a
first
teamer.
Sweeney has already put Trevor Lawrence up there?
No, I didn't say that. Did I say that?
I didn't hear you say that.
Did I say that?
Sounds like someone's being wishful.
Really, really. No, it's Kelly Bryant. It's not an or. It's Kelly Bryant.
Well, that makes most sense.
I guess. I mean, if they were even, it would be an or, wouldn't it?
No.
There would be a slash there or something.
Or is even.
The coaches have no reason to put anything out there right now other than
to start the controversy.
Coach Sweeney
to
said
ramp it up
during the spring game is that Kelly Bryant is the starting quarterback right now.
Yeah.
They'll evaluate everything over the summer and then fall camp. And then there will be a starter announced at that point.
You just like to ruin my fun.
Yes.
You just like to stomp on my joy of stirring up Clemson fans.
You got to go with the bit, man. Come on. Come on. You got to learn.
No, it's Kelly Bryant. Trevor Lawrence is listed. They don't have any ors under quarterback. Kelly Bryant 1, Trevor Lawrence 2. Now, we've had some scratches from the list, Clemson quarterback.
Yes, we have.
Chase Bryce is 3, and Ben Batson is 4. Freshman, Ben Batson. So that's your quarterback rank. Running back. Okay, and the way I read this is if there's Travis Etienne is 1, and Adam Choice, Tavian Feaster are the or. So they're even for 2. Is that the way I'm reading this? Travis Etienne is in bold, and he is listed first. Then it says Adam Choice or Tavian Feaster. That's not all three, is it, being equal? I don't think so. No, because only one name is bolded. So the starter is Etienne.
Yeah, so the starter is
bold. Etienne, and then it's Choice and Feaster tied behind him. Kind of interesting there. What's the matter with Tavian Feaster? That's what that brings up in my mind. We'll see. Wide receivers for Clemson on today's preseason depth chart. T. Higgins or Trevian Thompson, backed up by DeAndre Overton at one receiver position. Any surprise there? T. Higgins
or Trevian
Thompson.
Right.
This is one position. We got more receivers coming up. Don't get ahead of yourself.
Okay.
This is for one receiver position. T. Higgins, Trevian Thompson, even. DeAndre Overton, the third receiver, for that one position. Other receivers, starter, Hunter Renfrow.
Yeah, he'll be playing the slot.
DJ Chase, second. Will Sweeney, third.
Yeah, and he's the placeholder.
Yep. And then for the other wide receiver position, it's Amari Rodgers as the starter. Cornell Powell or Darian Kendrick as the backup. So, basically, we have one receiver battle going on, and that's T. Higgins and Trevian Thompson. Right?
That's what it would seem like.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's Hunter Renfrow and Amari Rodgers as the other two starting receivers. At tight end, Malin Richard or Garrett Williams. Even at this point. Backed up by Cannon Smith and J.C. Chalk. Okay. So that takes care of the skill positions. On the offensive line, Mitch Hyatt at left tackle, John Simpson at left guard, Justin Falsinelli at center, Sean Pollard at right guard, Tremaine Ankrum at right tackle. Those are all set. Nobody even there. Got your starter set on the offense, the offensive line. So anything in there surprise you? Does it surprise you that T. Higgins and Trevian Thompson are neck and neck?
That does.
I mean,
you would think that T. Higgins was...
Most people would have expected that.
Yes.
But that's where they
are.
It's
a good
right
problem
now
to have.
Yeah.
If you're a Clemson fan.
Clemson defense. Cleland Farrell, defensive end, starting. Wow. Dexter Lawrence or Albert Huggins at defensive tackle? Okay. So I'm trying to send a message to Big Dex there or something?
I think we're reading into this bold names too much.
No, I'm telling you, this is the way they do it. When they're listed as or and they're both bolded, that means that there's not one over the other.
See, Richmond, as a Clemson fan, is starting to be concerned.
I know.
Yes.
No, I'm not concerned at all. I can see you're trying to create some controversy
no,
here.
No, it's there.
And I'm
reading
wondering
it.
If there's
Lawrence
true
and Huggins,
controversy.
Dexter Lawrence or Albert Huggins at defensive tackle. It's right here on the preseason depth chart.
And it says or.
It does. I've seen one or two of these, Richmond, over the years. Christian
Wilkins.
That's
right. You are older than me.
Christian Wilkins at the other DT. Yes. And Austin Bryant at the other defensive end, so no surprise there. Listen to this, though, at the other defensive end. It's Austin Bryant, backed up by Chris Register at the two, backed up by Logan Rudolph, third string, and Xavier Thomas, the fourth defensive end at that slot. I mean, I know he's a freshman, but you kind of expect him to move up, don't you? Xavier Thomas, pretty highly touted guy. Let's see. Linebackers. Got Isaiah Simmons at one of the positions as the starter. Kendall Joseph, middle linebacker. And J.D. Davis at the other. Shaq Smith, third team on that one at the Will linebacker. Skalski is second.
I think that's been a disappointment.
Yeah.
Shaq Smith.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. Cornerback, got a battle going on between A.J. Terrell and Mark Fields at one slot. That's an or. Don't have a starter there. Don't have a first-teamer there yet.
Yeah, I think Terrell's going to be a guy that surprises people.
Mm-hmm. Remember, Mark Fields is a guy that was going to South Carolina and then changed his mind and ended up at Clemson. Kayvon Wallace, strong safety. He's got the position right now. Tanner Muse, free safety. He's got that locked down right now. And Trayvon Mullen, the other corner. So no surprises back there, right?
No.
That secondary is probably the most questioned area, certainly on the defense.
That's right.
Right now. Specialists told you that Alex Spence and Greg Hugel are listed as even at place kicker. Will Spires is the first team punter right now. And then they're not listing favorites or starters at long snapper just yet. Got some guys down there, but nobody has the job just yet. Couple of interesting things in there. Nothing shocking, but a couple of interesting things, like Lawrence and Huggins at defensive tackle, battling it out. Who's going to win that battle? I mean, Dexter Lawrence is a top 10 NFL pick.
Exactly. You got to go with Big Dex.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that's all about, to have that way
but again,
at this
that
point.
Just shows you the talent level on that defensive line right now.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, maybe, Lawrence, did he not practice at spring at all? Didn't they hold him out? Maybe it has something to do with that. He's got to go out and prove it.
He's got to earn it.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I think they held him out, if I'm not mistaken. So that could make the difference there. All right, just kind of interesting there. The Clemson preseason depth chart out just a few minutes ago from the folks over at Tiger Town. Saw this note from the NFL before we get out of here. Nick Foles will make $250,000 for each game in which he plays one-third of the snaps. He has a restructured deal. So, you know, Carson Wentz is back, we assume, and healthy. So Nick Foles is going to get the bonus where he gets $250,000 a game if he gets a third of the snaps. That's his deal with the Philadelphia Eagles, according to a league source. He can earn an additional $250,000 for each game in which he plays at least 33% of the snaps and the team wins. So the maximum value for Nick Foles for the year could be up to $8 million if he just plays all the way. That's an interesting deal. I don't know that I've heard it done like that.
No, I haven't either.
Of course, Carson Wentz has taken part in the OTAs. He is expected at this point to be back for week one. But if he is not fully healed from the left ACL-LCL injury that he suffered in December of 2017, The team is ready to turn to Foles, and why wouldn't they be? Did a great job for him. So they feel comfortable with Foles. So the Eagles and Foles have agreed to a restructured contract that includes $14 million in incentives, the specifics of which are largely tied to him being a regular starter. So if he starts, he'll get paid. If he doesn't, not so much. I mean, that's fair, right? You're just sitting over there on the bench behind Wentz, then you wouldn't expect him to get paid like that. Kind of interesting there. All right, we are going to Clemson baseball next. We'll see when they're going to start this game, but looks like they're going to be close to on time. Clemson and Notre Dame coming up from Durham, North Carolina in the ACC tournament. Thanks for listening to The Huddle. Back at our regular time at 1 o'clock tomorrow here on ESPN Upstate. For Lonzo in Richmond, I'm Greg McKinney. Keep it right here on ESPN Upstate for Clemson baseball, and we'll see you tomorrow in The Huddle on ESPN Upstate.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!